pray for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for what we were reminded last week, that the Apostle Paul is trustworthy and reliable. And we pray, therefore, this lunchtime, as we look at this next part of Ephesians, please would you help us to understand the message of Jesus with renewed clarity and certainty and confidence. And we ask it in his name. Amen. So then I'm going to read Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 21. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him face to face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose.
Well, hello everyone, and thanks for coming back for some more Galatians. I want to begin by asking a couple of questions. If we put our trust in Jesus, do we now need to keep the Ten Commandments in order to be sure of our salvation? Do we need to keep the Sabbath to remain in God's people? Do I need the work of a priest, a human priest, to stay in God's people? Or if I think of myself as an evangelical, do I feel less secure, less sure of my salvation when I haven't had a quiet time? Or when I haven't prayed for long enough recently? Or when I haven't done enough evangelism? In these verses, we finally see clearly what the issue is in Galatia. And it may well come as a surprise to us, because the issue of this letter is not so much, can I get saved simply by my works, by my life lived? No, it's more subtle than that. Rather, the issue, and I put it on the top of your outlines there, the issue is this: having been saved by Jesus, do I now need to keep the law of Moses to be sure of my place within God's people? Having been saved by Jesus, do I now need to keep the law of Moses to be sure of my place within God's people, either to get into God's people, to be fully accepted, or to stay in God's people? We see this, ironically enough, through an act of social distancing, which shook the early church and threatened to destroy the gospel of grace. Just have a look down at verse 11 again. But when Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I, Paul, opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? What's going on here? Well, to put it simply, the Apostle Peter was eating with the Gentiles. He knew that all foods had been declared clean in the gospel. But then he began to separate himself from Gentile Christians at mealtimes. By doing so, he was giving the message that in order to be sure of my salvation, in order to be sure of my ongoing place within God's people, I need to keep the Jewish food laws as stipulated in the law of Moses. Now, really importantly, no one was for a moment suggesting that we don't need Jesus. That would have been absurd. This was Peter and Barnabas and the other Christians at Antioch. No, rather the false gospel that Paul is addressing is this: having been saved by Jesus, we now also need to do elements of the law of Moses in order to be sure of a place in God's people, either to get in or to stay in God's people. This, therefore, is the grace plus gospel. Yes, I need the grace of Jesus, and I also need this or that religious ritual or action. Now, if you're listening in and you're not a Christian, these verses cut to the heart of how a man or woman can stand before God forgiven. And it is good news. And if we are Christian, we may feel that, well, I'll never be tempted to keep the law of Moses like this. I'd never slip into a grace plus gospel. Well, I suggest that this comes closer to the bone, perhaps, than many of us realize. What we have here in verses 15 to 21 is Paul's gospel. We talked last week about the religious haze and the ray of sunshine that Paul's gospel is, that brings clarity and breaks through the religious haze. Well, here we have it in verses 15 to 21. This is Paul's gospel. This is the thesis of the whole letter, actually, which is then unpacked throughout the rest of Galatians. It is wonderful clarity. It is the gospel of salvation by faith alone, both in by faith and on by faith. Or to put it negatively, as Paul does, there is no place for the works of the law at any point in Christian salvation, whether for justification or for the ongoing Christian life. 2 points today. Number one, justification is by faith alone. Just have a look down at verse 15 and 16 again. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. That word justified means literally to be declared righteous before God forever, and therefore to be welcomed into his people as full VIP members, to be brought into the arms of our Creator forever, justified. The point that Paul is making is that there is one way to be made right with God, and that is not by keeping the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, and all that come with them. And if we're listening and we're not a Christian, but that may come as a surprise. So often, that is what people think Christianity is. I have conversations with people sometimes around the church. And so often, what is Christianity? It's being a good person. Do your best to keep the Ten Commandments, and then you'll be okay. But no, if you look again at verse 16, we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. Rather, a person is made right with God simply by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. But I wonder if you noticed what Paul is also saying, which is that the Jews themselves have abandoned their own law in order to be justified by faith in Christ. Did you see that? Verse 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ. So therefore, we have abandoned our own law, and we've believed in Christ in order that we too might be justified by faith. On Sunday, I took the kids to Battersea Park. They've got an amazing playground in the woods there. I don't know if you've been, you probably haven't been recently, unless you were taking your kids. At one point, my kids were happily playing on the climbing frame and that kind of thing, but they spotted an ice cream van parked nearby. It's mid-October, but there's always an ice cream van, isn't there? And so, as you can imagine, they were off the climbing frame, abandoned the climbing frame. Daddy, can we have an ice cream? Well, the picture is that Paul is painting is something like that. Paul is saying, look, even we Jews have abandoned our climbing frame because we've realized that no one can be made right with God through doing the Ten Commandments or getting circumcised or the temple system. We've gone where everyone else have gone, to faith in Jesus Christ. That is, they have trusted entirely in him and his work alone. I wonder if you've noticed that there is no middle ground here. It's a bit like one of those experiments. So I don't know if you, where you sort of take a clear glass of water and you drop in one drop of something or other, peroxide, I don't know, you chemists will know. And that one drop turns the whole liquid black. Paul says, it's either the pure, clear water of faith alone, or it's the works of the law. There's no middle ground. Even if it's just one thing you want to add to be sure of your salvation. Paul says, if you want to do that, you can protest as much as you like. It's 95% faith, or it's 99% faith. But if there's anything that you think you need to do in order to seal the deal, to make sure you're one of God's true people, then you want to be justified by the works of the law. God does not want us to help him out. That's the point. He wants us to trust in his Son. It is the gospel of grace. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of entrusting something important entirely to someone else without meddling or fiddling, whether it's the holiday arrangements entrusted entirely to the spouse, or whether it's the work project entirely entrusted to the colleague. Well, that's what Paul means here by justification by faith in Christ Jesus. It means trusting his work on the cross is enough, needs no addition. His work on the cross is enough to bring us into God's people as full VIP members forever. It is leaning entirely on him. Faith, therefore, is what happens internally before we move a muscle, before we get baptized, before we go to church. It is simply the heart that says, yes, Lord, your work is enough. Thank you. I wonder if you've ever said that. In by grace, through simple faith. But Paul isn't finished because he knows that there is more clarification needed. His gospel is not only in by faith, but on by faith alone. And that's verses 17 to 21. So secondly, on your sheet there, the ongoing Christian life is lived by faith alone. The question Paul addresses here is, if we're not justified by works of the law, surely we still need the law of Moses as a check on our sin in order to help us live a godly life. That's verse 17, the question he imagines. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? In other words, if Jews have effectively had to become like everyone else to admit they're sinners, in the process of being justified, we too were found to be sinners, no better than Gentiles, and to abandon the law of Moses in order to be justified. Well, surely then Christ is a servant of sin. In other words, he set people free from the only thing that can keep their sin in check. He's caused them to abandon the law of Moses, the only thing that can stop them living licentious lives. Christ surely is a servant of sin, if that's your gospel, Paul. Rather, they would say, surely Christ has saved us, and the law of Moses now provides the ongoing rule of obedience over the Christian life. Paul says, no. In by faith, on by faith. Verse 18. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. In other words, if having been justified by faith, I then rebuild the law over my life, putting myself under the law of Moses again, well, then I prove myself to be a transgressor because I seek to reverse and to reject the work of the living God in my life. Verse 19, for through the law I died to the law that I might live to God. Hopefully no one's ever said to you, you're dead to me. It is one of the most final things anyone can ever say to a person. It means, of course, that we have no relationship anymore. We have nothing to do with each other. That is what Paul is saying about the Christian and the works of the law of Moses. We have nothing to do with each other anymore. Why? Well, because the law has had its way with us. It has spent itself on us, if we're Christian. That's those three little words, through the law, I die to the law. And then we have been crucified with Christ. This is the wonderful truth, that the curse of the law has already fallen on me if I'm a Christian. So that when I look at the Ten Commandments as they are up here in St. Botolph's in Pride of Place, I can think, thank you, Lord, that they have spent themselves against me at the cross of Christ. And now I am a new creation. The old me has died under the law, and now I'm a new creation. It is no longer the old me who lives, but rather Christ who lives in me. What does this mean for the ongoing Christian life? Second half of verse 20. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the key. Paul's gospel is not only in by faith, but on by faith. The Christian life is not lived under the law of Moses, but by faith in the Son of God. We might be thinking, asking, what does Paul mean? The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Well, we never move on from Christ alone. I trust in his death alone for my standing in God's people. And that never changes. Him who loved me and gave himself for me. And I trust in him alone for my growth and godly living. Him who lives in me, Christ in me, by his Spirit. So two legs, I think, to this faith. Why then would I need the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, for my godly living, when I have the author himself living in me? He wrote them, he fulfills them, he surpasses them. That's Paul's point. Christ in me. Well, what should we conclude? I think we can see from these verses that there is no place for doing the works of the law at any point in Christian salvation or the Christian life. That is Paul's point. Either in order to be justified, he died for me, or in the ongoing Christian life, he lives in me. And so we have the true gospel of grace, in by faith, on by faith in him, in Christ alone, in by grace, on by grace. And to put it negatively, which Paul does, if I think I need to do anything beyond simple faith in Christ, either to enter God's people, like circumcision, or to stay in God's people, like keeping the food laws, then that is a gospel of justification by the works of the law. I've just put three areas worth thinking through on your sheets there as we conclude. Firstly, it might be that we are tempted to do elements of the Jewish law itself. Do I think that I need to keep the Ten Commandments in order to keep myself in God's people? No, Paul says. We've died to the law. Christ lives in you now. Do I think I need to keep the Sabbath in order to be fully obedient to God? No, Paul says. On by faith alone. We've died to the law. Or secondly, it may be that that we're tempted to do the law in Christian clothing. I don't know if anyone's ever seen the cartoon Chicken Boo. I didn't really watch it in my childhood. It's quite old. But if you have seen that cartoon, you will know that the lesson that is repeatedly made is that a chicken dressed as a man is still a chicken. Hence the jingle, you wear a disguise to look like human guys, but you're not a man, you're a chicken boo. Or as we might put it, you wear a disguise to look like the gospel of grace, but you're not the gospel, you're the law of Moses. Doesn't quite scan as well. Sadly, many churches still want to persuade you that you need the work of a human priest in order to stay in the right with God. You need to go to confession. You need the weekly sacrifice of Mass. All of this will be clothed in the name of Jesus, but it's the law of Moses dressed up in Christian clothes. The funny thing about Chicken Boo is just how obvious it is that he's a chicken all the way through. That's the joke. No, says Paul. We stay in God's people by faith alone. We don't need to go to confession to stay in God's people. We don't need to take Mass to stay in God's people. Faith alone. That's the law in Christian clothes. Where baptism is taken sometimes to be the point at which someone is brought into God's people, well, that is circumcision dressed up in Christian clothes. No, that is not the point when someone is brought into God's people, Paul says, in by faith alone. Baptism of the Spirit. Sometimes people want to suggest that one needs an additional religious rite like the baptism of the Holy Spirit in order to be a proper Christian. Well, that is just like circumcision. That is the law of Moses dressed up in Christian clothes. But there is a third way we may add faith, and this may be where it hits closest to home for many evangelicals listening. On the one hand, there is what I've called the blatant false gospel, which is some of the stuff we've been talking about. But there is also latent Galatianism, which is in our hearts. It's the seed of this gospel plus, which we're all so quickly drawn towards. Is there something we need to do in order to be a proper Christian? Quiet times are a very good practice, and without them, we'd have to find another way of maintaining a healthy relationship with God. And yet, I found it helpful over the summer to have the odd day without one, just to remind myself, no, Phil, you're a proper VIP member of God's people by faith in Christ alone. I think there is also a risk of latent Christ plus gospel when it comes to evangelism and ministry. What if I've never led anyone to Christ? Will I be turned away or shuffled off into the less keen second class area? Well, if we're tempted to think like that, then we are falling towards a Christ plus gospel in our hearts. You are a fully fledged VIP member of God's people by faith in Christ alone. A question to close then for Christians. Am I still living by faith alone? Faith in his death for my standing in God's people, and faith in him as he lives in me by his Spirit for my ongoing godly life. Or another question perhaps for us, others of us. Have I ever abandoned my efforts entirely and come to God by faith in Christ alone? In by grace, on by grace. Let's pray as we close. Father, we thank you for the gospel of grace. We thank you for Christ Jesus, who has done everything to bring us into your presence, to bring us into your people forever, and who does everything to keep us going in the Christian life. Thank you that we never move on from faith in Christ's death for us, and from faith in Christ as he lives in us by his Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help each of us to gain clarity as to what your gospel really is. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, that is the formal close of our time. In a sense, if you need to go, that's fine. We have been in the past just having a question time for any who would like to stay. And we'll do that now. For those on Zoom, there should be a way to ask a question on chat. Or for those who are here, feel free to raise a hand and ask any question, and I'll do my best. Antoine. Yeah, that's really helpful. So the question is, verse 19, Paul says, through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. So is Paul saying that he wouldn't be able to live to God if he hadn't died to the law? Yes, I think that is exactly what he's saying. So they think that in order to live a life that honours God, they need to live under the law of Moses. Paul is saying, no, actually, it's the opposite. It's because I've died to the law that I might now live a life that honours God. Because, why is that? Because my old self has died, and now Christ lives in me. So the one who wrote the law, the one who fulfills the law, the one who surpasses the law, he lives in me. And so I'm now going to be living a life that is truly honouring to God. Of course, we know from reading our Old Testaments, don't we, that the law of Moses was never able to bring about godly life in God's people. Why would it be able to do that now? The point is, no, the ongoing Christian life is not lived under the law of Moses, but by faith in Christ alone and his Spirit living in us as he transforms us to live more and more like, to live to God, exactly as Paul puts it. There's one on chat, is there? Hang on, that hasn't come up. Sorry, I can't see that one on chat for some reason. Yes, please.
What do you mean by the law? What do you mean by the law has spent itself on us as Christians? What is the curse of the law? How has it fallen on me as a Christian?
Yeah. So what do I mean by the law has spent itself on us as Christians? What is the curse of the law? How has it fallen on me? So where Paul says, through the law, I died to the law, in verse 19, and where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. That is the curse of the law against my sin. I have not kept the Ten Commandments. I've not loved the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I've not loved my neighbor as myself. I deserve judgment. At the cross of Christ, Paul is saying, every Christian died as the law spent itself in terms of it spent its wrath, it spent its judgment, its condemnation on all of my sin. And at that point, I did have something to do with the law, but now the law has, in a sense, breathed its last against me. It spent itself against me. I'm now dead to the law. I have nothing to do with it anymore, and it has nothing to do with me. We've had our dealings, and Christ has died for me, if that makes sense. Hi, Hugh.
how do I know the difference between keeping the Mosaic law in a way that I'm not supposed to as a Christian and obeying God in a way that I am supposed to?
Yeah, that's really helpful. So how do I know the difference between keeping the Mosaic law in the way that I'm not supposed to as a Christian and obeying God as I am supposed to as a Christian? I think wait for the end of Galatians. So Paul is going to get to that. But what he's not going to say is the Holy Spirit sends us back to the Ten Commandments. He's going to say we are now set free to live a completely new life in the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit in us is producing the character of Jesus in us by grace. And yes, Paul says, walk in step with the Spirit. But he doesn't say, now the Spirit-filled life is to live in obedience or put yourself under the Ten Commandments. We're going to get there in Galatians. That's a very good question. Yeah. Any more, Simon? Are we done? Good. Let's draw stumps there. Great to see you. Next week, we're carrying on in chapter 3. See you then. Thanks for coming.